we do it like we do it. Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gumbelson and Lee Radswell. Along with my co-hosts, Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer, welcome to PCP Pop Culture.
All right, y'all, let's get ready to feast on some pop culture. Gobble, gobble. Woo! Happy Thanksgiving! It's so exciting. I'm going to eat my face off this week.
Aww.
I am. I'm going to eat a lot.
That is actually a great segue into our first topic.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. I guess we just get right into it then. Yeah.
Let's pop off this pop culture with a bang or... I don't know.
I guess we'll begin closest to home.
Murder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Closest to your home, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No carving knives for Sam Haskell Jr. this Thanksgiving. Because if you guys haven't seen, the son of a former William Morris, as they call power agent, may have allegedly has been charged in the murder and hacking deaths of his wife and in-laws. Yeah. Right here in the valley, Tarzana.
As soon as I saw this story, I knew Tarzana did not surprise me to see it took place in Tarzana. It was like, of course it took place in Tarzana.
Always Tarzana.
Always
Tarzana.
It's a mess. It's a messy story.
It's a nice house. Yeah. I have to say, I have two friends who live right in his neighborhood. I'm assuming. So I did some background digging on him. I'll save a few fun facts for one in a bit. Make you wait. No, but it's a nice neighborhood. I can't find a real traceable, profitable job for him. So I'm assuming his parents. Paid for it. It's like a $2 million house.
The Lord paid for that house.
He has a pop culture fashion blog. Okay. Tragic Streets. That's a moneymaker. Mm-hmm. I think. I don't know. I haven't looked it up because I don't want to, because he's a serial killer. Not, and I don't know if that by definition is a serial killer, but yes, he's been charged with the deaths. He may have or may not have dismembered the bodies. He was caught because, as most criminals, he's an idiot. The police, like, so they found pieces. God, it sounds so awful to talk about this. Like the bag. So basically, the story is that he killed his in-laws and his wife, and then dismembered them, and then he sort of got caught because he tried to hire day laborers. Which, if you don't live in Los Angeles, you don't really see it in other cities as much. But Los Angeles, you know, you can hire guys for, you know, various jobs, moving things, stuff in your yard, carrying heavy things. You can find guys at like Home Depot and things like that, like outside, and you can just hire them hourly, daily, whatever for just tasks like that. Like, because generally you can find guys with trucks and things like that. So this Sam Haskell found a couple guys. They hired for the day to come in their truck and pick up some trash bags that he had in his driveway. There were three bags, and the guys noticed that the bags were very heavy. So Sam told them that the bags were full of rocks. But then the three gentlemen who he hired were like, "This is awfully squishy and soft and heavy. This doesn't feel like rocks." So they put him in the truck, drove like two blocks, and one of them was like, "We need to see what's in this bag." Body parts. They were body parts. Mm-hmm. So they turned around and just dropped the bags right back off in his driveway and went straight to the police, as one would. But then the next day, he was seen driving in his Tesla. He drove out to beautiful Encino.
Well, because the cops went there, but the bags were gone.
Yes.
By the time they got there, and nobody was answering the doors, so they didn't do anything. Because there's a bag of body parts at a house. Let's not try to make sure we find out what's going on.
Maybe that, you know what? I was wondering if the cops didn't take it too seriously at the time because it was like Halloween weekend. And I wonder if that's like the perfect time.
I don't think they took it too seriously at the time because it was from day laborers. Could, let me be honest be with too. You right here.
Yeah. But also it was Halloween weekend. So maybe they were like, yeah.
That's a point too. I'll give that 30% credit. But my 70% goes with racism.
So yeah, he was seen the next day at a dumpster in Encino, which is, I don't know, like, 5 miles away?
No, not even. Is like it even? Three,
oh, okay.
Two. It's one neighborhood over.
And he dumped one of the bags into the said dumpster, and it was discovered by a homeless person who was just looking through the dumpster, saw it, and also contacted the police. And they think that the bag in question was the wife. They said there's no remnants. There's no they don't know if where the parents, the in-laws, there's no trace of them. And the police have flat out said, oh, we'll probably never find them. They said as soon as a bag like this makes it to a landfill, it's gone forever. We'll never find it. So basically this guy almost got away with the perfect crime. But again,
he's been charged with the murders.
All three.
Even of the parents who haven't been
all three.
Found.
And there was blood. There was blood and things found in his house that would let you know a crime was committed. So they're not just guessing that the parents, you know, but it's, you know, and you're getting the thing you always see where now the neighbors are, a lot of the neighbors and people who knew him are coming out and saying, you know what, he was kind of awkward and quiet. That's usually almost always the case. And he collected crossbows and samurai swords. Well, that seems like a red flag.
Yeah, never date a man or marry a man who, because that just makes me think of Game of Thrones and who is that crazy prince? Joffrey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Makes me think of Joffrey. Yeah. I'm sorry. Men who like samurai swords and crossbows and hatchets and stuff like that, they're going to murder you. Or they like murdering things. So the next one's going to be you.
But the reason that this story, though, caught such major headlines is that his father was a big figure in the industry. So the murder, alleged murder, is Sam Haskell Jr. Jr.
No,
meaning
the fourth.
His father is Sam Haskell.
Yeah,
I love that.
He's the fourth.
No, it's the fourth. Yeah, I've seen it reported as like it's third and fourth, but some people are saying junior and senior, and third and fourth is not junior and senior. But it's father son, and they all have the same name.
And so his father, Sam Haskell, is he's retired from William Morris, but he was one of the big heads of TV as an agent at William Morris, rep some big names. Clearly. And so he's being painted almost, so his son now is being painted almost in this kind of Menendez brothers Nepo baby light because of that. And so the interesting thing about his family, though, is what stood out with them in Hollywood is that they were his parents who raised him in a big house in Encino. They are very conservative, very evangelical, and they're known for their wholesome religious family life. The parents who raise the butcher of Tarzana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This good Christian, evangelical Christian Hollywood family raised a mass murderer, basically.
Though the father he's had some scandal himself. Like like you said, he was a big time agent at William Morris. He had George Clooney, Whoopi Goldberg. He had Ray Romano, like huge clientele. Oddly enough, Prince Edward, King Charles's youngest brother. I don't know why he had representation through William Morris, but who knows? But the father, Sam Haskell, the third, the father, was also the CEO of Miss America, the Miss America pageant. And he resigned in disgrace in 2017 because of a big email. I don't know if you remember. I actually remember this happening, but I didn't place the name until I read about it. He had to step down as the CEO of Miss America for over a huge email scandal where all the board members and executives were caught basically making fun of the contestants, their looks, their weight, their sex lives, like these horribly crass emails. So that this that takes a new level to this Christian evangelica thing. So he had to step down from Miss America. The COO also had to step down. Like, it was a big thing. And that was this same man.
Mm-hmm. I love so something I could tell you about, because I asked around. I got really excited. I had never heard of this Sam Haskell. That's not real. And he really worked a lot in the 90s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. But I do have friends who are agents, managers in that field and stuff, and they said he's a big name. He is. He wasn't the way the media paints him. It was like he ran a studio, like he was Aaron Spelling or Louis B. He wasn't that big, but in the field of agents and management and that kind of thing, he was a very important name. And the way you got to into doing business with him was to basically, you had to please his, you, not please, you had to suck up to his wife. His wife called all the shots. And his wife was really, she actually, his wife would make an excellent Real Housewife, now that I think about it. She was a former Miss Mississippi. She's a studio, she's a Hollywood wife who fashioned herself to be this Christian charitable martyr. And if you wanted to do business with him, you kind of had to like suck it up and go to one of his wife's luncheons where she was being honored for her charitable work at like a homeless mission or a church thing, and just talk constantly about how amazing Mary is. Oh, isn't she the sweetest? Aren't they the best family? Mm-hmm. And if you got on her good side, he'd do business with you. So she was very Real Housewife. She's a Southern pageant woman. And it, yeah.
I have a question, and I don't know if you know the answer, but I wonder if they were friends with Michael Hammer and his wife, you know, Armie Hammer's dad.
Very similar. She was
they were like, because his wife was from Texas and was like an evangelical Christian. And mm-hmm. Michael became kind of born again through her and all that stuff. And so I wonder if they kind of ran in similar circles and knew each other.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to find out. That would That's be really interesting point. To find out.
Because they do, a lot of those people in Hollywood, the ones who consider themselves like they stood out from the rest as being very, very, like I said, evangelical, which isn't that common in LA in general, but in that business, it's not. So they do kind of stick together. You know, I mean, like, there's a network of people.
There are religious people in Hollywood. There are plenty of Christians, plenty of Jews, but evangelicals are different. That's a small, there's not many evangelical Christians, you know.
Catholics, that's what I mean.
Christians,
It's that they're evangelicals. Like very like something you'd find in a small Southern town, mm-hmm. not Encino or Beverly Hills. And so, where was I going with that? I got sidetracked because that's a really good point. We need to find out about the Hammers and the Haskells now.
Yeah. That's our homework.
And they both raise stellar sons. I mean, both of them just have children who have a thing for cutting people up.
The thing that's the saddest about all this, besides the violent murder of three people, is how Dolly Parton, I don't know if you followed how Dolly Parton fits into this family. Like, mm-hmm. she has a decades long working relationship with this family. Like, Sam Haskell was her agent, and now he's the president of Magnolia mm-hmm. Hill Productions, which does all of Dolly's holiday specials and, you know, Christmas special. Every special that Dolly Parton does is Sam Haskell still is producing, which leads me to believe they have a very, I would assume, good working relationship, but it's a long working relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's like, Dolly, I feel like Dolly's a good, you know, she has a good knowledge of character. She probably saw this Sam Haskell grow up because, you know, he's only 35, so he's younger than us. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like Dolly's going to get roped into this somehow. And don't do that. She deserves better.
Nobody's going to touch Dolly.
As I did get a little excited. So he's 35, so he's a couple of years younger than me. He grew up in the Valley. I was like, I don't think I know anyone who knew him. Like, you know, it seems like he's a little dysfunctional. I liked to party back in the day. So I was like, maybe, but I found his Instagram. And we do have a friend in common. I've spoken about her before on this podcast. So see, Sam Haskell Jr., the murderer, alleged, his Instagram's all these little like indie videos he's produced, like short movies, music. He had a thing for Asian girls. I can tell you almost every video I had on there is some kind of like OnlyFans promo style with Japanese models. Wow. But he also did an indie movie about rich kids in the valley, like drug kids in private schools, all that. And I was watching the shorts and guess who plays the mom in this indie movie about rich kids in the valley?
Tori Spelling.
Dolly Parton.
Brandy Glanville.
Oh my God.
I was watching and I was like, I've never seen this movie before. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, rewind. They're not like friends, but she played the mom in like a small role in this indie movie was trying to get off the ground.
Oh my God.
And then I even looked it up. The movie didn't even rate an IMDb. I even looked it up, but it like it didn't. It's not even credited. It doesn't even have IMDb credit. But that sweet angel's face. I was like, no, small world.
That's so small. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oof. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to throw her in the mix, but I just couldn't believe it when I saw it. Yeah. What other light family friendly
on a lighter note
history can we tell today? On a lighter note, Cassie just got a ton of money. We think because
we suspect. Yes, it's been a whirlwind couple of days for this. Diddy was served with a lawsuit a few days ago from Cassie. His if you're not familiar with her, she's a singer. Was signed to Bad Boy Records. She and Diddy dated on and off for like 12 years, 13 years, I think, from like 2005 to 2018. And she just filed a lawsuit accusing him of horrible things. She accused him of raping her in 2018 as they were breaking up. Like she said that like at a dinner where she was trying to break up with him, he raped her after dinner at her home. She accuses him of over the entire length of the relationship, physical and emotional abuse, including beatings and stompings. Stompings. Beating's bad enough, but just the stomping, you have a visceral feeling about that. Then there's also accusations of human trafficking, because evidently Diddy's kink was to make Cassie sleep with male prostitutes that he would then film and watch later. And he did this in multiple cities across state lines, which is why Cassie's like brought in human trafficking into the fold. The strangest accusation is that she accuses Diddy of blowing up Kid Cudi's car, the rapper Kid Cudi, in 2012, according to Cassie, Diddy and Cassie dated on and off for 13 years. So there were times they were dating other people. There were times they were together. And she dated Kid Cudi in like 2011. And Diddy was so jealous about it. He said that he was going to blow up Kid Cudi's car. And she didn't really think anything of it. And then the following year, his car literally blew up in his own driveway. He wasn't hurt. Nobody was hurt. But basically, Cassie's like, yep, he followed through on that one.
This wasn't a fit of rage.
No, it was.
He held on to this.
Yeah. And then Cassie's getting she has an ally in a strange place you wouldn't think of. Aubrey O'Day is has put her foot in, because Aubrey O'Day actually basically Aubrey O'Day came into this saying, "I've been trying to tell you all." She actually, that was her quote. She's been, "I've been trying to tell you all," because famously was in Danity Kane, a Diddy band from, I think it was like making the band two or three. And she's been accusing Diddy of awful things for years, like physical, not physical abuse, emotional abuse. She accused him of making like sexual advances. She doesn't accuse him of actually, you know, assaulting her, but advances that she had to rebuff. She says that basically Diddy would not give Danity Kane any of their publishing rights unless they all signed NDAs. And she said she refused to do that. So that's why she, but nobody believed her. Like Aubrey O'Day has been saying this for years and nobody believed her. Cause it's like, you know, I mean, I had not even heard the name Aubrey O'Day in quite some time before actually reading this, but now she's been vindicated. You know, now she's like, I've been vindicated, and she has. Even Suge Knight's weighed in from prison. He's, you know, Suge Knight, head of former head of Death Row Records.
That guy has a stellar reputation.
He does. He does. Yeah, he's in prison.
A great character witness.
He's in prison for 28 years for voluntary manslaughter right now. But he, you know, he famously in the 90s, it was Bad Boy versus East Coast, West Coast, Bad Boy versus Death Row. So he has thoughts on Diddy. And evidently he has a podcast from prison, which... I mean, you joke everybody has a podcast, but when murders in prison have a podcast, he has one called Collect Call. I don't even know how he records it, but I'm fascinated by it. He said he
will collect
he,
call?
Probably, I guess that's probably the joke. He said that he will speak on it shortly. It will be his next episode coming out. So I'm very curious his thoughts on the matter. But the whole point
guys,
of all of this,
the guest star.
Oh my gosh. The whole point of all of this is that there were Diddy's people came out and denied it immediately, of course, and they accused her of doing this all as a shakedown. They're saying behind the scenes that she said she was going to release all of this info in a tell-all book if he didn't pay her $30 million. And that's just coming from Diddy. That was not reported like as a fact. That's just Diddy saying that. But now, lo and behold, this thing was filed like on Wednesday, and by Friday, it mysteriously had been amicably, both sides said amicably resolved. So there was some sort of money settlement, nobody knows what, but people are like, well, it could be in the neighborhood of $30 million since that was the rumor to begin with. I mean, obviously, Diddy's close to billionaire status, so that's not a lot for him.
Yeah.
It's funny you said 30 million because in my head all day I've been playing a guessing game. They had to have settled. He had to have paid her off. I mean,
it's
that one day, that quick turnaround. And if we were going to play a guessing game on here, I didn't know about that 30 million. My guess was going to be 25 mil. Just a quick, clean 25 mil, and she dropped everything. And so, no, that it's funny that he threw out. That's very close.
Yeah,
so, like we're playing The Price is Right.
Yeah, yeah, you're good.
I did pretty well with that. I was guessing 25 because it's obviously worth it. The fact that he would settle so quickly means, to me, it means there's some honesty in the allegation, in her allegation.
The attorneys already, you know, immediately said, like, just because we're settling, it's not admission of guilt. We're just settling because it's, you know, they're doing the same thing you always say, but to settle that fast, like it was 2 days.
Yeah.
And the crazy, the settlement
was
so
like, oh crap.
The settlement was so fast that she's already lost Aubrey O'Day. Now Aubrey O'Day's pissed. Like now she's like, wait, you settled already? Maybe Aubrey actually came out and said, maybe Cassie wasn't it for the money. Like, why did you settle after 2 days? That's insane. So who, but, and
did Aubrey think she was going, this is going to be some like movement?
I think she did.
Like a Diddy 2 kind of movement and they would join forces.
Diddy 2. I mean, maybe, but I understand her feeling of like being vindicated, especially if Danity Kane doesn't have publishing rights because they were being sexually harassed and she wouldn't sign an NDA. So that she could at least talk about being sexually harassed by Diddy. Like, I would be really fucking bitter. I would be bitter. And if somebody finally came forward who had receipts and had more power, perhaps to come out and say that, and then settled after a couple of days, like, I can understand settling because it is, it's an incredibly messy process for both sides to go through, period. But Yeah, but to settle after a couple of days, maybe not let any more like stories slip out or whatever, you know, to like get a ball rolling in some way. Like, I completely understand why Aubrey O'Day would be pissed. And I'm very shocked that I am agreeing with Aubrey O'Day. I'm not agreeing in that I'm thinking that Cassie was in it for the money. I don't want to think that. So I'm not, but I can see being pissed. I absolutely understand that.
The other issue I was thinking about with people saying this, you know, like she settled so quickly, is that this was a civil lawsuit and not a prosecution, a criminal case. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is the end game in a civil case is a financial settlement. If they hit that quickly, he must have made it worth. First of all, her case had to have been extremely strong, and he had to have made it worth it to her. That's why I was like, probably like 25 mil or something. So at the end of all this, the only real way to settle was financially. So she got it in 2 days. I mean, it leaves us with a lot of questions, but I also think there are a lot of implied answers there.
But I do think that it still does open the door more for mm-hmm. people like Aubrey O'Day or for other people who have been perhaps hurt by Diddy and haven't come forward or said anything. And that maybe they'll be like, well, fuck money, whatever. I'm okay money-wise. Let's get this shit out there now or whatever. But I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one that I thought of immediately, especially after, not necessarily the abuse stuff, but the kink, like the, you know, what kinks are kinks, whatever. But it seems like he made Cassie sleep with these prostitutes so he could film it.
Yeah.
So clearly that's a kink he's into. What do you think he asked J-Lo to do? Because that's a lot of people forget about is J-Lo and Diddy. Mm-hmm. 99 to 01. This is 1999 J-Lo is not the megastar that is now J-Lo. She was a star. She was a star.
She was up and coming back.
She was up and coming. Exactly.
She was up and coming. She wasn't J-Lo.
And one of the things I remember hearing from the Cassie suit is that he would make her carry a gun, mm-hmm. make her carry guns and like guns in her purse and stuff. And remember how basically one of the final straws for basically the final straw for J-Lo, like she broke up with Diddy soon after mm-hmm. that whole shooting thing that happened with Diddy. He mm-hmm. had a gun on him and it was in that lobby and they had to go to court and all that stuff. And she was there. Like I think that made me think of it because I was like, what if he made her carry guns or like all that stuff too?
J-Lo was arrested. Like there were varying reports on because for gun possession, the gun was in their car. So the police couldn't really say whose it was because it was in J-Lo and Diddy were in the same car with this gun. And there were different reports on how long J-Lo was actually in custody. The charges were dropped on her pretty fast. But like some people said she was in jail. It's like she was in there for like 14, 15 hours. Which is, that's a long time. But again, like this is J-Lo, up and coming J-Lo. So he had a lot of power over her. So who knows what kind of shit he asked her to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now she's a powerhouse. I mean, it took me a second to process because we think of J-Lo as like, you know, a powerhouse, but she was up and coming then. And he was the one with the power. She
was just Jenny from the block back then. I'm sorry.
The infamous Versace dress at the Grammys. At that time, she was like Diddy's girlfriend, even though she was a known star. She is not what she is now.
Yeah. And you know, something else that did launch, it was 1999, and a little random, but it did help, and I'll always remember, it helped launch luxury SUVs. That moment put the Lincoln Navigator on the map. I'm not joking. It was, they were in a Lincoln Navigator, and the Navigator was the first of those luxury SUVs, and it changed the auto industry as we know it today.
I'm sure the Lincoln folks had mixed feelings about that. They're like, oh, good. Oh, good. Like, no, oh, good. But, I mean, but
it became part of pop culture. Yeah. It became the Lincoln Navigator, the Escalade. And now it's like a whole industry and SUVs outsell sedans. So it really did put Lincoln owes him. Lincoln doesn't owe him anything. I'm joking.
The Escalade was already going off because I just played Lil' Kim in class today. What's the name of the song? Because my edible's hitting it. That's why I can't remember the name of the song. There you go. But it's a song from 2003 because at the end they say 2003. But she goes, Escalade, 23-inch rims. And so, but that's 2003. So the Escalade was already there.
The
so
the J-Lo Diddy thing was 1999.
There you go. You're right.
It was 1999.
Okay. See, my edible's hitting. That's why I can't keep the timeline going.
Yeah. I'm very bad with lots of
things. The Jump Off. That's the song. Sorry. I just had to get it right. The Jump Off. If you guys don't know that Lil' Kim song, it's... Mwah.
When it comes to other people's shiny objects, I'm really...
You know what you're talking about.
Ooh, you know what? Speaking of another lawsuit brewing involving a turn of the millennium, 90s, early 2000s rapper, Will Smith.
In the news again. Yeah, there are new accusations out about Will Smith from... a man named Brother Bilal, who claims that he's a former friend, assistant of Will Smith's, but though nobody seems to be able to verify that. But he went on a podcast called Unwind with Tasha K. And he basically said that he witnessed with his own eyes Will Smith having sex with another man. That man is Dwayne Martin, another actor who was recently divorced from Tisha Campbell. And yes, Brother Bilal says, like she was Tisha Campbell Martin. He claims that he walked into Dwayne Martin's dressing room and saw the two of them engaged in coitus, or in his own words, he said that Dwayne was standing over Will Smith, killing him, murdering him. It was murder in there. So he's describing it very vividly.
I declare.
Yeah. Do you need your fainting couch? And I'm
on my fainting couch. Let me faint for a minute.
Will Smith has denied this. And Dwayne Martin has said he's not even going to give it the time of day to deny it. And Jada's come out and say she's ready to sue. There have been gay rumors have dogged him forever. Like both of them. Like that was always the stories I heard for years was that Jada and Will had an open marriage. Like I didn't know they were actually separated like they claim now, but the story was always they had an open marriage and that they were both, if not gay, at least bi. And I think Jada's admitted as much. Jada said that that she's been like with women, but the Will thing was just always a rumor. So that's why this got people's attention. They were like, oh, there's actual, I mean, it's not actual evidence. It's a guy saying it. We don't even know who this guy is. And frankly, the podcast he did it on, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Tasha K. She is, she's a bit of an agitator. Like she's a blogger. She gets into a lot of trouble.
She owes Cardi B $3.4 million.
Yeah,
in a defamation.
She gets in a ton of trouble. Lawsuit. She got sued by Cardi B a couple years ago because she accused Cardi B of being a former prostitute. Cardi has always acknowledged that she was a former stripper. Like that's part of her whole mystique.
Yeah.
But Tasha was saying no, she was a prostitute, and Cardi sued her. One. And got a $3.4 million judgment that Tasha K has not paid because she doesn't have that money. And the weird thing about all this is that Cardi B even said recently, she's like, I'm just going to let it go. Like she actually said in the press, I'm not going to follow that $4 million. I don't really care. But now Cardi B is so pissed about these Will Smith allegations that she actually said, she's like, no, I'm going for the money now. So Tasha K just fucked herself royally. And Tasha K is also being sued by R. Kelly, who again, not exactly somebody I care about, but evidently she leaked information of R. Kelly's like private information, and he's suing her from prison. So this Tasha K, she likes the attention, and she likes to do like outlandish things.
She's corrupt, but she's not pretty like us.
Yes.
If you want just random allegations thrown out there, tune into no. But you know what? Why I think, it's like Will is kind of keeping quiet. Dwayne's kind of keeping quiet. It's Jada they caught on the street.
Yeah.
And as she's getting into the car, she yells out to the photographer, we're suing. And I'm like, after all she spilled on her book tour, every humiliating, right? Unnecessary detail, she's just mad because she didn't put this in her book and release it on The View or whatever talk show she was on at the moment. I think she's just jealous.
I love that version of it. I thought we were done outing people. Do you know what I mean? Like publicly, like I kind of thought we were done doing that to people. I mean, it's just,
I wish
it's distasteful. Like one day it'll just be like, Will cheating on Jada. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter who the fuck it was with. It was just that he was cheating on Jada. You know, or he thought he was cheating on Jada, but he wasn't. But also, if it was that long ago, I don't even know if they were together yet.
There was never a year given to this, because Dwayne Martin and Will Smith have been like friends for decades. So this brother Bilal didn't say like, oh, it was such and such year. So we don't know when exactly this happened.
Was it in a green room? I understood it as being in a dressing room.
Yeah, it was in a dressing room.
So maybe we could do IMDb overlaps.
When they said it was Dwayne Martin's dressing room, not Will's, so that might, we might be able to limit it a little bit, because Dwayne hasn't done that much. But yeah, if Tasha K really wanted to get like under Jada's skin, she should have done this podcast like a month ago, right before Jada's book came out, because that would have tanked everything. As it is now, Jada's just pissed because she's losing some of the news cycle. But like a month before, that would have destroyed her book, because people would be like, wait, there's tawdry stuff that Jada's not talking about? We want to hear that.
Well, speaking of tawdry stuff that people don't want others talking about, that is the gift of PCP on this Thanksgiving.
We want people to talk about it, don't we?
No, the people we talk about don't want us talking about them. That's the general consensus. That's the general feedback we get when they listen. So, we are so grateful for you and to show... I don't know what, just the baseline here is rate, subscribe, review, and follow the Pretty Corrupt Podcast. You can also find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And of course, depending on what order you listen these to in, we are 2 episodes now, so make sure to check out PCP Bravo Breakdown if you haven't already. Enjoy your carbs. We'll be back next week to share our Ozempic updates. Fingers crossed.
Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.